720. Yeah. WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio on Memorial Day. And as we remember and respect and recognize all of our heroes, excited to have on the line the star of some of the all-time biggest hit shows in food television, acclaimed restaurateur, and a constant ambassador and advocate for our men and women in uniform, our longtime friend, Chef Robert Irvine. Welcome to WGN.
What's up, WGN?
Woohoo!
Dane, my good friend.
It's on a day like today, and a holiday for most Americans, it's an important day to honor and respect. You are always moving. You're always traveling, on the move, and oftentimes in support of our armed forces. So how did Robert Irvine, how did you spend your Memorial Day?
Well, this morning, actually, let's talk about the Saturday. Saturday, I do a dinner before Memorial Day for TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. The Robert Irvine Foundation feeds 800 family members, Gold Star family members. Then we hang out with them all on Sunday. Then Monday, today, Memorial Day, we actually do the parade itself with ABC. And I do a lot of interviews, which I've already done, and walk and meet and talk and interview people for the actual broadcast. So it's been a busy day, but it's always a great day when we honor those fallen and we honor those that continue to live their families that have given the ultimate sacrifice. That's what my day looks like.
Inspiration on the TV side, the parade, all of that kind of stuff, but also for families in the restaurant business, so much support there with Restaurant Impossible, so many success stories, a lot of great causes that you support, and many of them men and women in uniform. You mentioned it, the Robert Irvine Foundation. For the listeners that may not be aware, you know, share a little bit about some of the impact. You mentioned, you know, feeding some of the troops and some different things like that, but just some of the other ways that the foundation impacts.
Yeah, of course. The foundation was started, robertirvinefoundation.org was started in 2014 to really fill the gap, which was the physical and mental well-being of our men and women, the Weathercloth and the nation and their families and our first responders. So what does that mean? Yes, twice a week, somewhere around the world, we're feeding between 300 and 3,000 troops or firefighters or police officers or all of the above. We have that's called the Breaking Bread with Heroes program. Then we have our iBot program in dogs. iBot, Dean Kamen designed an iBot that stands you up and goes over all rough terrain and does amazing things for those that are in regular wheelchairs. Wow. That feel, you know, when you look down or you bend down and, you know, they used to be able-bodied, it's tough to deal with that. So Dean created this amazing wheelchair that stands upright, so you don't have to bend down, don't have to talk, they feel normal. We have a dog program out of Wilmington, North Carolina, reuniting the brave, putting old units that have served together. We just had 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 750 of them, then a group of snipers, then 600 rescue swimmers, putting them units back together. To get the feeling of being around a tribe meaning around people of the same like-mindedness, and that's what we call it in the military. So there's a lot of things that people can check out there. We do grants, we do food buys, food insecurity, just a whole ton of great things. I think in a couple of weeks from today, we will be taking 80 people to Scotland to do a 54-mile march. Again, in the vein of getting them out of four walls and helping with suicide prevention, we've partnered with the Elizabeth Dole Foundation for Face the Fight, which is PTS and suicide prevention. So there's an awful lot goes on. It's my one and only big love, other than food. And food allows me to do what I love the most, which is military and first responders.
Wow, man, that is so much. There's so much in there. The mental side of it, the physical side, obviously, like you said, a lot of it revolves, you know, food is always a central core to it. I mean, that is a lot. I could see it, Robert, right? You start this and you want to have that interest area of the military men and women in uniform. And there's just so many related causes. I'm sure you're approached with so many of them, and the way that you're able to tackle as many as you can is super exciting. I was also excited to see that you partnered with the U.S. Army to advise, consult, revamp maybe some of the food awareness programs with the Army. I know a lot of the listeners, you know, heard of the MRE. Hopefully you've got a vision maybe to improve some of that. What's going on?
But luckily for you, we're not touching the MREs first. There's a lot more worse things. Yes, for years and years, we've been traveling with various organizations. I don't think there's many bases we haven't been to across all branches or ships. Or, you know, last week I was on, or 2 weeks ago, on the USS Albany submarine, then the Eisenhower. So there's not many places we haven't been. And every place we've been over the past 14, 16 years, never been impressed with the food. And we start these programs, yet every 4 years, the senior leadership changes. We have probably some of the best leadership in our military right now than we've ever had. And it started with you know, C.Q. Brown and a lot of other folks before him. And now we're finally getting to the place where General Randy George, the Chief of the Army, and Mike Weimer as the Sergeant Major of the Army, this is, and the Secretary of the Army, this is a big push to change feeding. And the Army being the largest group of our forces, by the way, if it starts there, then it moves into everywhere else. So the modernization, I would call it, of the dining facilities, not necessarily MREs at this moment, but really the home base dining facilities where soldiers live and eat. And we are taking them into the 22nd century. And it's a very exciting time, having spent with the Army team, the DLA team, and the logistics teams, and all these people getting legislative approval to change or at least test five big bases. Mm-hmm. Which I'm really excited about, not only the food, the nutritious part, but also the look and the feel of the restaurants themselves.
Wow.
So it's a holistic approach to mental health and feeding, but also, you know, you've got food, you've got sleep, you've got exercise and nutrition. They all go hand in hand to get the best resilient soldier, sailor, airman, Marine or Guardian or Coast Guardsman. We have to give them the best tools to be able to do that. And whilst we give the hardware, meaning submarines, planes, ships, and everything else, the beans are more important than any of that, because if the human can't use those machines, then we don't have an Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, or Space Force.
The awareness that you're raising for that, right? Because, and you hit on it, there's so many millions, billions probably into all that technology on the equipment side. And you think the most valuable piece of equipment that has to think, run, operate, make all of those critical decisions is the people. And if you don't have the right fuel in there, and that may have been a mindset that just wasn't at the forefront. So to be in there to inspire them, you know, and help educate, I think is great. You look at the work that you're doing, you know, and it's, whether it's veterans that are past their career, maybe they've suffered injuries and you're helping with them or the mindset afterwards and the reunions, but also full circle on that next generation as well. I saw that you were out at West Point, and that's exciting. So our son Maxwell, who you've met multiple times, will be out there this summer starting at West Point. So I hope you'll be back, but talk about that.
I'll be back there a few times. West Point, look, all the academies are amazing, and what they teach and what I see there is just the next generation of what I call warfighter. But West Point is something really special. It's got such a historic background. The buildings, the feeling when you walk on the campus. I mean, I actually stayed to watch a lacrosse game, which was unbelievable. But just walking onto West Point itself and the history there, and the great leaders that have come from there, you know, it makes me want to be, you know, 19 again and live in the United States and go to West Point. I was never smart enough to do that, by the way. But
that's
not true. I just think it's historic. And I think there's a renewed pride in the United States with the younger generation that wants to serve and wants to help, whether that be in the military or a first responder community, doctors, nurses, teachers, EMT, 911, whatever it is. As I said, our uniformed services. There's a whole new renewed hope of and pride. And you see that Memorial Day right here. You see it with the streets of D.C. lined with hundreds of thousands of people waving flags and saying thank you. I believe they should be saying thank you every day for these 1%ers that put on a uniform. But if you look back in history, I mean, the Doolittle Raiders, the Tuskegee Airmen, the list is endless, right?
Yeah.
Of heroes, and we stand on the shoulder of giants today. So It's very exciting.
Yeah, as people do all of that respect and remembrance, it's often, you know, this is a holiday like some of those that is also like a food-centric holiday where people get together and celebrate and honor through food. It's also really considered like the kickoff of summer, you know, and people are doing that, and whether it's grilling or barbecue. I know you love that type of food as well. I know some of the listeners are texting in and they want to know what Robert Irvine is looking forward to making as we head into summer, and maybe some things that they can try.
Well, the funny thing is, I do love barbecuing. I do love to cook. Very rarely do I get a chance to sit at home and cook on a barbecue anymore, because I'm a little bit busy traveling the globe. We just came back from Norway a month ago with the Marines, doing ribeyes and things like that. So for me, just fresh, healthy, wholesome, simply cooked food around. And here's the note, Dane: around a group of people that you care about. So food to me in the military is the international language of hope. It's breaking down barriers. And it's something that I wrote a book about, where we sit around the table as families and we talk and we put the phones down, we turn them off, and we eat food and we converse. And I think a lot of families have lost that. We need to get back to that, knowing what our kids are feeling, knowing what our military buddies are feeling. And I think that's what food is for me. It's not what I cook, it's who I cook for and who I sit with.
The food,
and that's the best part about food.
The food, and of course the military side of it is so much. Of course, the TV side, right, and all the excitement that you bring to that is such a big part of the persona. So we'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all of it. So where can people follow? I know that people are clamoring for, they're asking for, they're requesting, you know, the next Robert Irvine hit show. I don't know if that's, like I said, you're always super busy. I don't know how much time you've got to build sort of that into the thing, but any word there or just...
I will tell you, you know, we are working on something right now. I can't tell you what it is, but when I know what it is, you'll be the first to know.
Nice. Yes. And then social media wise, where can people try to do their best to keep up?
So they go to Instagram. Instagram is at Chef Irvine. Twitter, which is really me doing it, you'll know, because there's 140 characters and no punctuation. That's at Robert Irvine. The rest is all at Chef Irvine, TikTok and all that kind of stuff. I'm not very good at TikTok, by the way. I literally do Twitter myself. I answer all the questions and whatever myself. And you'll know it's me because, as I said, there's no punctuation. And for all them spelling people out there that bust my chops for not putting punctuation, get over it. I'm a dumb cook who makes eggs from England. So there you go.
We'll have links up for all of it here at WGNradio.com. Thank you. I know you got lots more to do, not only the rest of today, but of course, coming up, you never, never stop. So I want to thank you for everything you're doing for the troops, for the fans, for everything. And of course, thanks for jumping on the show today.
Appreciate you, Dane.
It is time. He is involved in so many different things. Robert Irvine never stops. And coming off the largest one-day sporting event in the world, in the history of the world, the Indy 500, it's our sports click. And the question is, which sports day should be a national holiday? If sports were to get a national holiday, which sport would it be, right? And so here's the choices that were available. Super Bowl, makes sense. MLB opening day, that is a huge one. The Indy 500, well, we know how we feel about that. And the Kentucky Derby, where everybody gets together for that. And the winner, with 61%, this makes a ton of sense, is the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl won, I could see that, right? Regardless, even if you're not a sports fan, you're celebrating Super Bowl Sunday, having parties and enjoying that. So makes sense. Maybe next year the Indy 500 can get in there. Quick break. We'll be back right after this. Our Sports Click was sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Memorial Day, and this is a guy that we spent a ton of time with yesterday and over the weekend for the Indy 500. So much more than just the action on the track. Peripherally, so many things happening and so many great causes being supported. This one was part of the official tequila of race day, breaking out the bandito to support the VFW. And a guy leading the way in one of our great VFWs is Stan Check. Stan, welcome to WGN.
Dane, thank you so much for having me.
So, Stan, you survived. Obviously, you're out there doing the people's work, supporting the VFW, and also supporting good times with the Indy 500. And I don't know if you're glad to have it over. You wish there was more, but welcome to the day after.
Yeah, well, probably a little bit of both of those. We had a great time, and definitely we want to do more of that, but I'm definitely glad to be home with my two kids and my two dogs. I would like to say that we've been unwinding today, but that hasn't really been the case, considering that it's Memorial Day, and we do a big Memorial Day service here in Winnemac, Indiana. The American Legion here in town and my post, the VFW Post 1728, we do a big ceremony downtown, and then we have a big luncheon for all the veterans in the county, which is Pulaski County here in Indiana, northern Indiana. So it's been a busy day, and I finally just got home, and we're getting ready to finally kick back after a long weekend of serving tequila, El Bandido tequila at the Indy 500.
Stan, in the minute or so that we've got to people, you know, they in their town, right? The VFW is a staple, right? It's sort of a cornerstone location in so many different communities. Give a little background on the VFWs, what they do, kind of how they operate and support veterans, and just their kind of role in the community around the country.
Yeah, sure. And it was really neat because the VFW is very recognizable. Obviously, almost every town, and not every town, but there's probably over, maybe 150 in Indiana or somewhere close to that. So it's very recognizable, and we got to meet a lot of people that knew who we were, and we had similar events and scholarships and stories and all sorts of stuff like that. But you know, it kind of varies from community to community, so I can't speak for all posts around Indiana or the country for that matter, but here in Winnemac, Indiana, you know, we're a small town, 2,500 people, very small county. We've got about 12,500 people, so it's a much smaller post than some of those other cities like Lafayette or Valparaiso, who are also in our district, where they've got about 2,000 members, and we've only got about 100 members. So being invited to the Indy 500, little Winnemac, Indiana, post 1728, that was very uncommon and very special for us.
Yeah, well, We were thankful for that. We were happy to be able to build you into things, support the efforts that you have there. And the VFWs, you know, what they are is they are a gathering place. They are a hub for people that recognizes and supports the veterans, the men and women in uniform, and the community at large. And so as we let you go, is there, if you want to give any information, is there like a Facebook page or anything before we go to news?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said before, we're all very different, but what we do, we've got relief funds here where we help needy veterans. We raise money at the VFW. We collect money and we handed out buddy poppies, which a lot of people recognize those, and we collect for veterans in need. We also did a scholarship raffle that goes to our military scholarship here in Winnemac. And also it was just awesome to raise money for our post so that way we can continue to spread the word and help veterans.
Well, we appreciate you being involved with all of it. And, of course, we're going to have links up at WGNradio.com. It's Stan from the Winnemac VFW. Thanks so much for everything. Thank you, Stan, for your service. And enjoy the rest of the day and the holiday, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you, Dane. And also, we do have a Facebook page. It's VFW Post 1728 in Winnemac, Indiana, if anybody wants to look us up.
Thank you, Stan. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more 720 WGN. 720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and excited to have on the line acclaimed and beloved actor, writer, comedian, and our favorite title for him is, of course, Chicagoan Jeremy Piven. Welcome back to WGN.
Thank you, man. It's good to be back.
I got to share with you, I'm not sure if you'll remember this, but it was maybe 2016. WGNR studios were still on Michigan Avenue, right on the street. You happened to be walking by. Our producer jumped up, grabbed you, pulled you into the studio, and we talked maybe, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes contemplating the possibility of a Cubs World Series. I don't know if you remember that. Either way, WGN fans will never forget it. It was epic.
Oh, of course I remember that. No, it's just, listen, Chicago will always be my home. I remember that moment like it was yesterday. I was walking past, and I was actually the creepy dude just staring at you from the street, just because you guys have that beautiful open air kind of studio there that's incredible, that people love. And only in Chicago could that exist. And yeah, I was honored to come in. So I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Cubs haven't been back. But of course, those were some great moments.
No. And,
but it is always such a great place. You know, Chicago is one of those places. As I travel, people come up to me and they'll be like, oh, Chicago, you know, political corruption, rampant crime. And yes, yes, we have that. We're certainly proud of all of that legacy. Mm. But it is an amazing place for sports, you know, obviously the architecture side, music, comedy, all that. You are going to be coming back on the 6th. And of all the venues, and share this, Jeremy, too, because the Vic is one of those iconic locations, seen tons of concerts there. It is absolutely incredible for comedy. Just your thoughts on the Vic, of all places you could be.
Well, the Vic is a beautiful theater, and I'm going to be actually filming my special. So anyone that shows up, we're gonna be documenting something that means a lot to me. It's my first special, and I'm coming home, and I, of all the places, chose Chicago and the Vic because it means the most to me. And I'm not just saying that, man. I, you know, grew up around the corner, and there's a lot of history to unpack. And that theater has a lot of specials have been filmed there, whether they know it or not. And Chicago should know that, you know, people from Chicago, especially actors, are revered. And one of the main reasons is the community, because people show up and they support us. So from a very early age, I was performing and people would show up at the Piven Theater or the Goodman or Second City or a 99-seat black box theater. You know, our community is the best in the country. And so it's my honor to give back.
Jeremy, talk a little bit about that. As you have traveled the world, the country, and you're kind of, you know, the world's person, you know, with all the movies and the TVs, everybody feels like they know you. But there is something special about Chicago. Like people, when you are from Chicago, they take you in. And, you know, everybody can be from someplace. And of course, there's some pride related to that. But people just take pride in the fact that you're from here. I mean, it is kind of an ownership thing. You're one of our guys.
Well, it's that, you know, that is my honor. And selfishly, they're the best crowds in the game because they're used to going to live events and they're not self-conscious and they get the jokes. You know, when I say that I'm getting older and this is how you know you're getting older, I used to look at a woman in a short skirt and I'd be like, wow, she's hot. And now I'm like, I wonder if she's cold. I can tell the temperature of the room right there. And in Chicago, you know, it's where I grew up, 8 years old, getting up at the Piven Theater. You know, it's my whole life there. And so, you know, I could have shot my special anywhere in the country, but I got to do it at home. You know, and my mother passed away recently, and I buried her out there next to my father. And, you know, this is an important place for me. It's everything.
It's definitely going to be a home game for you, and you're going to feel that love. Not only the familiarity and the appreciation, certainly the smart comedy sense that Chicagoans have, but a welcoming environment bringing back, you know, one of really their favorite sons. And you mentioned on the theater side, so you've gotten to do a lot of different things, you know, success in the movies and the TV stuff and all of that. Those are the kind of things that people aspire to a lot on the theater side, you know, and comedy is really that one-to-one interaction with the crowd, the back and forth. Just your thoughts. I mean, you've done it all. You've succeeded at all of it. Like, what is it that you appreciate about that live audience side?
Well, with stand-up, there's nothing like it, and you got to be prepared for the fight. And one of the things that prepared me was, you know, my first job out of college was performing at Second City in the 90s with Chris Farley. And you have to be, you know, thinking on your feet and improvising and doing different sketches, but not, you know, the audiences aren't necessarily heckling you. So by the time you get to stand-up, you're not only thinking on your feet and writing on your feet, but you're also having a dialogue with the audience. So if they're screaming, "Let's hug it out," or Lloyd, you know, and you're in the middle of your joke, you got to call an audible. And so it's the mixed martial arts of performing. You know what I mean? You're in a cage with these people, you know, and it changes the dynamic of your set. You know, and so it's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. And so you have to be like water and let it come in and then shape it. And, you know, the audience is my partner, and I can think of no better partner than Chicago right now. And we got our first Pope.
And my fantasy is that he has a hardcore Chicago accent. You know, he goes, guys, let's get out there and do a couple 2-3 Hail Marys. You guys are doing a nice job. You know, I'm just hoping that he's got a hardcore Southside accent.
Picks up a giant golden phone. It says, bringing some beefs for the Cardinals, right? So
yeah, that's right. Some, you know, guys, get some brats. You know, at the Wiener Circle. Come on, guys.
So think about this. Chicago is, of course, the home game, but through the comedy thing, you get to travel the country. Are there any places, you know, because there's a perception of what it is. I mentioned the rampant crime, you know, whatever Chicago has as far as its public identity that certainly doesn't define it. As you have traveled and seen some of these places, for the listeners that are hearing, and we reach WGN, a big signal, are there any places you've been to that you didn't even, that you weren't aware of or didn't know you could appreciate, and you're like, wow, hey, this is a cool town?
You know, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wow.
North Carolina, Raleigh. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Raleigh reminded me of Evanston. I was like, wait a minute, am I home? What's going on here? Like, you know, they just have great restaurants, the diversity, culture, a vibe, good people. You have to understand Chicago, and I'm not just saying this because I'm going home and I'm performing at the Vic on June 6th. See what I did there?
Yes.
They have real culture. You know, some of the best blues and jazz in the country, the best theater, the restaurants, architecture, vibe, everything is there, and yet they're not pretentious. And they'll work hard, and they'll support you, and they'll look you in the eyes. And that's who I am. And I brought that to Hollywood, and they didn't know what to do with me. You know, because I'm used to writing cards and notes on our opening nights. That's what we do in the theater. And I did that, you know, when I started doing film and TV, and people looked at me like, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? And so we all support each other because we know intrinsically that someone else's success won't take away from your own. And so that city is a bit of an anomaly in that way. I have a place in my heart for Chicago. I can't even tell you, when we support our teams, it's everything. You know, when I'm yelling for the Cubs or the Bears, it's because I grew up watching them with my father. So we have that connection. Anyway, I'm getting very sentimental with you, man.
Well, the Cubs for sure, right? We'll always have 2016, the World Series. The Bears have dispensed a lot of soul-crushing disappointment. And good thing you have family, right? Family and friends that you can console. But you know what? I don't know how much time you spent watching, you know, over the last couple months, right? But they've made some things. They've got some moves. People are very excited about the Bears, Jeremy. You're going to have to get into some of these games coming up during the football season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're talking about, you know, changing the stadium. I don't know what that's going to look like. But every year, listen, we got a great quarterback where they're putting some incredible pieces around him. And we're going to support them. And we're going to see what happens. It's exciting. We got a great coach. They went the extra mile. Got a great coach from Detroit. And, you know, that's what Caleb needed. He needed a mentor. And that's what he's going to get. And he's got great receivers and an offensive line. And I think it's going to be an amazing year. It sounds like I work for the front office, but I really don't.
or at least the Visitor and Tourism Bureau. We're both going to get a letter for that.
Well,
maybe so.
Listen, brother, I played for the Emerson Wildcats. I was one of the few white boys on the team. Look it up. I was there in the 80s.
Nice.
My body said, my jersey number said linebacker, and my body said kicker. Okay? So just take it easy.
We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for all of that. Chicago loves its sports and oftentimes disappointed. They also love their comedy. You mentioned some of that, and Jeremy Piven is going to be here at the Vic on the 6th. No better place to see him and, of course, to be a part of that special. How cool is that, right? If you get a chance to get in there, you get to see that great show, and then you can watch yourself maybe you know, they do some crowd shots going forward in perpetuity.
Oh no, they're going to be a part of my life. And listen, it's a way to get back to that city, because you know when they say, "Wow, okay, you're an actor from Chicago," that means something. It's because these people showed up, so I'm going to put them in my special. And by the way, if they say WGN, let's give them all free meet and greets afterwards, so I can take pictures with them.
Oh, that's awesome. You're doing the people's work, Jeremy.
Well, bro, what are you kidding me? This is what it's all about. I mean, if you don't give back, you're a dummy. You know, I remember being there the year they won the World Series, and they gave out these teachers that just said, try not to suck. And it's true.
You have to embrace your reality. Chicago does that. The reality is that coming up on the 6th at the Vic, Jeremy Piven is going to be here. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. You heard it here. If you mentioned that that you heard him here on WGN, you get an opportunity to say hi, right? Not that you wouldn't get it anyway, but maybe a little extra consideration there, and maybe a high five or a handshake. And so, Jeremy, as we let you go, where can people go to find out more information, get the tickets, maybe other dates too, if they want to travel and see you even more times?
Well, just at jeremy/piven.com. They can certainly see my tour dates, because I'll be all over the Midwest afterwards, but also be able to get tickets for that show in particular. And everyone knows where the Vic is. It's right in the heart of the city, right off Belmont. Beautiful, like, intimate 1,000-seat theater. It's like the size of a Broadway house. Good size.
Yes.
And we're all going to hug it out. I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, there are no bad seats for that. Again, and we'll have links up at WGN.
No, there aren't, by the way. Yeah, that's an excellent point, because the reality is they're going to see that the VIP. Sorry, I'm literally getting a haircut as we speak.
It's a multitasking.
You know? So yeah, and you're a part of my day, brother. But when people see that all the VIPs are gone and they're going to have to be in the balcony, you made a great point. There are no bad seats.
No.
If you're up in the balcony, you can see everything because of the nature of that beautiful theater.
Yep, you're going to get to experience, you're going to hear the humor, you're going to be a part of history, immortalized in the special that is going to happen. No place better than Chicago, the Vic. Jeremy Piven, one of our very, very favorites in Chicago's very own. Jeremy, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your haircut, and thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, brother. And you know what, when I get to town, I'm going to come in and do what I did last time, which is just stare at you while you work. And then I might come in and we may have to do this all over again.
We have a seat and a microphone waiting for you, Jeremy. Can't wait to see you in town.
Well, listen, brother, listen, don't pull a knife unless you're going to use it. I will come in.
We're ready.
I'll be there. All right. Are you okay? Be ready. I'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, brother.
You bet.